evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, February the 7th, 2017. I currently have 6:03 p.m. I'd like to call our work session to order. Items that we have on the agenda for the work session is when Mr. Bunker gets here, then we have a special award for him for his service with the city. But we also do need to go into exec session to discuss pending and reasonably imminent litigation. Neither of those things can we take care of right now because our city attorney is not here. Mr. Bunker is not here. So, this is what I'm going to suggest. We do have some discussion items coming up later in our regular council meeting. So, I think we can spend a couple of minutes talking about these items in order to familiarize ourselves with this. So, Chandler, can you introduce the concept of item number 8, which is an action item on the official zoning map of the City of Cedar Hills?
Mayor and Council, I believe this is a relatively straightforward agenda item. As part of the land use requirements outlined in Utah State Code, we do have to adopt an official zoning map. So what we're doing tonight is we're not making any zoning changes. These have already been made. This is the map that reflects those zoning changes. So you see that portions of the city property, most notably parks, such as Bay Hill Park, Cottages Park, I believe Doral Park, were added to the public facilities zone in the dark green on the map. And portions of the RR1 20,000 zone were moved into the R1 15,000 zone along Canyon Road. That's that deep purple. Those were the only zone changes that we had. But this is just an updated map reflecting those changes.
Can you jog my memory and remind me when we adopted those changes?
Was 2015.
So I thought this was a while ago.
It's been a while. The reason there's a delay on this is that, for one, we didn't have the software to update the map for a while. And so we were kind of scrambling to get the map put together. And we're still a little bit behind the curve on that. But thanks to Adobe Illustrator, we were able to update the zoning map. So it looks good.
Okay.
We were able to import a county file that showed all the parcels, so we were able to kind of manipulate that to our needs.
There's been some discussion about putting the golf course in the public facility zone. Is that still on the radar?
We had that discussion, and based on the recommendations of the Golf Course Finance Committee, we decided not to pursue that, just to not to change the purpose of the golf course. We don't want to change or trigger any of those bonding documents to make the bonds callable, so we decided to just leave it as is.
Oh, is that right? A zoning change would trigger that?
It could. And also, we'd have to parcel off St. Andrews. So we decided to just, as for now, leave it in. That's still an option that we can pursue later, possibly even now. But at this point, we've decided to kind of table that.
Yeah, so I don't know where the rest of the council is, but we had talked, at least informally, about making that zoning change. And also, some of us had talked about including St. Andrews Estates in open space, with the idea being that there was a lot of public requests to do this sort of thing. So I don't know if the council had thought that this was maybe something we can look at in the coming months.
That's something we can add as a discussion item on agenda, and if so, we can have that discussion item, I think, but it would have to go back to the Planning Commission and through the proper channels at some point.
By the way, Mr. Shaw has given a legal opinion recently on St. Andrews, and he says he does not believe that it would trigger a change in the golf course. So if the city decided to implement the plan that was originated a long time ago about making St. Andrews Estate some building lots, I think it was 22 of them, that the city could do that. So... anything else, Chandler, on the zoning?
No, I think that's a pretty straightforward item.
Any questions from council members? Okay. Let's move on to number 9, and this is an action item. And so there were a couple of minor changes to this, one of them which was the lady who you'll be meeting tonight. I have not met her yet, so I'll be meeting her for the first time. And she had wanted a cap on the amount of money every month that she would be paying the city. And Also, this is a contract that was originally done with Cameron Burr, so it does not include alcohol.
Yeah. So the only I know Councilmember Crawley was concerned about the alcohol in the grill. This is Cameron's original contract. It does not allow for the sale of alcohol in the grill. It does give them an option to sell alcohol as part of a catered event, but that's the same option that we give to anybody that's catering event. They would have to go through the necessary licensing and procedures the city requires. So that's not a special treatment for her. It's the same treatment we give every caterer. And as the mayor said, the only changes from the original contract that we offered to Cameron was the cap on a monthly payment, and the only other change was that the city manager or designee may work with the tenant on business hours. So that's something that we could have, I could, in theory, allow Greg to negotiate or Wade work with them from the golf course and events perspective to work with them on their business hours.
And the cap is $3,000, right?
$3,000.
Let me ask a question on that. We ever get close to that?
We have not. To this point, we have not.
Okay.
The contract's set up to cover the city's expenses of having the grill so that we're not subsidizing somebody's tenancy in there. It covers all of the utilities, and with the profit sharing, it covers the depreciation of the building and the grounds maintenance and the facility maintenance that's outside of the grill.
And that was all determined by Charles originally, right?
Yeah.
Came up with those numbers.
So Charles provided me the spreadsheet, and I believe he provided it to you in Cameron's original document. And I have it in here somewhere. But
I spoke with Monica. She's planning on being here. She's one of the six sisters today. And to me, it seems like a terrific fit. Someone that actually does, they cater. They've got a very unique site where they operate, and they really, I think, would do a fantastic job.
Thank you. Any other questions on the contract for the concessioners? I know our city attorney's here, but I'm loath to kick all of our friends out of here because I think Mr. Bunker's going to be showing up here shortly. Right, Gretchen? Okay. And so...
Can we tell him 6:30?
Yeah.
Oh, we got 20 minutes.
I think I've been told that he's going to be here any month.
We told him 6:30, so it may be 20 minutes.
Okay. Then in that case, I'm sorry to say I am going to kick all of you out.
Can I ask a question on this?
Yes, please.
And Mayor, I still have some questions on this
on the
this
concessions?
Item. Yes.
Go ahead.
So I'm looking at the contract. I seem to remember that some previous contracts we had a higher monthly rent and then a lower percentage, like I seem to remember a 10% percentage, and then it wasn't capped or something like that. I assume what we're going for here is lowering the monthly rent to a kind of a minimum value that we need to cover costs, but then a little bit more aggressive with percentages.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We want them to be able to get established in that first year. The agreement's for 1 year. In that year, we want them to aggressively advertise. We want them aggressively pursue catering options. I sent out the council some links on Six Sisters Deli, and we had the opportunity to take staff out there for, once we heard they were interested, we went out and did a field trip with some of the staff to go check them out and introduce ourselves. And their current restaurant is a destination location. It's not off of a major thoroughfare. You have to go find it. So she's already gone through that once. If you looked at her website, she does catering, and not just a couple options. It's full catering. She's looking at the event center as a real boon to her business. So we're really excited about the prospect of working with her. They have a fantastic reputation in the industry, and a base of knowledge that I think we haven't had before in the grill.
Did she say when they'd start?
They want to start getting in as soon as possible. With the thaw coming, we're looking at opening the golf course as soon as possibly next week if it dries out. They obviously wouldn't be here that soon, but what we're looking at is, okay, how can we best serve the patrons that come in for the events? How can we best serve the patrons that come in for golf? And we want to get an option for them as quickly as possible.
Yeah. So relative to our square footage that we have, the capabilities we have in our grill, and the location,
is $3,000 a month rent, is that standard for this sort of facility, below market value because of the location? Do you have any sense?
I honestly don't have any knowledge of that. We based it off of the current contract we had with Cameron, simply because we knew it covered our costs. Now, she came in and was very impressed with the size of the grill. I think it's very similar to what she's currently working out of. She has a wide variety of menu items we tasted. It was great food. But as far as comparable lease options, I don't have anything to compare it to, other than previous contracts that the city's entered into.
Yeah, so I guess I just have two conflicting concerns. One is I want to be sure that we're good stewards of the public's facilities and charging a fair market rate, combined with my concern that we make sure she has every opportunity to succeed, because we're going to get zero revenue if she doesn't.
Yeah. Well, as it currently sits, we get nothing. And that's where I think you hit it on the head, that the $600 covers our base costs. And then the profit sharing helps to give the city, it gives her an incentive to do more. You know, it gives her an incentive to reach that $3,000 and exceed, because then her profits go way up. I think it balances the lease, the steward of the public space, versus the city's need to have something there.
And if nothing's here, there's no synergy.
Yeah.
If you have a destination place that people come to eat, it's going to help the golf course and events.
No, I'm totally on board with that. My concern is $3,000 too high? Like, should it be capped at $2,000? Or is it way below market and we're giving her
$3,000 was what she proposed.
That's her proposal.
That's her proposal.
Okay.
And we knew that if they were hitting that number, we're more than covering our costs with the leased space.
Okay.
So she felt comfortable with that number.
Any other questions? From the right side of the table, anything? Daniel, are you finished?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. I'll take a motion to go into exec session. Remember to list where we're located.
I'll make a motion that we go into closed session pursuant to Utah State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205 to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation in the Cedar Hills Recreational Center on February the 7th.
Okay, I have a motion to go into exec session. Is there a second?
I will second that motion.
Mr. Zappala seconds it. Let's have a roll call vote. Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Mr. Bailey.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Courtney?